Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank you, Father. Bless your name for the privilege this morning again to fellowship, to look into your word, and to receive of your spirit. God, we ask that your word will be made flesh even this morning, and your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. This morning, I'll be sharing with us. It's almost 9:30 already. I'll share with us briefly for just 1 hour, and then we'll spend time to pray. Praise God. You know, this is the gathering of eagles, and I told you, it takes empowerment to be an eagle. Being an eagle is not just a title or a name. It's a reality we manifest. It's a superlative dimension that we are able to capture and to manifest. And so I told us last night that the first aspect of that reality is obtainable through the instrumentality of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Without that enablement of God, it will be impossible to live an exceptional life. There are many forces trying to thwart your existence and undermine the purpose of your being. Life in itself is faced with a lot of oppositions. And then to have forces trying to counter, to counteract, to undermine your existence means you definitely need an empowerment. If you see a piece of land on its own without any input of fertilizer, you discover that grasses will grow naturally. You don't need to take care of it, you don't need to nurture it. The grasses will grow on their own. You want to plant a flower, on the other hand, you may need to add manure, you may need to add fertilizer, and all kinds of things for it to grow. That means life is faced with great opposition. What is good is usually opposed because we are in a fallen world. Apart from the natural opposition you face, there are also spiritual opposition, like demonic entities that want to undermine your existence. This is why you need empowerment. And I told us, the subject of empowerment is not something you cannot afford not to understand exactly how it works. If you reduce it to emotions, you will suffer. Reduce it to psychology, you will suffer. So it's something you have to take responsibility, not because of ministry, but because of the quality of life you want to live. When we discuss empowerment, it has nothing to do with ministry. It has everything to do with the quality of life you want to live. Because you will face oppositions, natural oppositions, and demonic oppositions. And I said the first empowerment you will have is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is the equalizer for every mortal walking on the face of the earth. The anointing has no regard for gender. It has no regard for age. It has no regard for natural limitations. If you are anointed, whether you are young or old, male or female, it doesn't matter. The anointing is the Holy Spirit and the abilities that flow out of the Holy Spirit. He said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And so when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and the attributes of the Holy Ghost begins to flow from you, you may be 15 years old. What you will command, a man of 40 cannot command it. Because that ability is not yours. It is supernatural and it is divine. This is why you must understand how the anointing works. It is the equalizer. It is what makes the difference. It is what balances your limitation and your infirmities and brings the supernatural out of you. And so I said there are three ways of receiving and expressing the anointing. I said number one is through the instrumentality of honor. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12, it says to follow them, not those who are old. To follow them, not those who are white. To follow them, not those who are black. It says, but to follow them who through faith and patience have obtained the promise. And so we said, if you find a man that carries a dimension of God, if you want to make contact with it, better honor that vessel so that you can receive of it. And we said, in most cases, those who operate those dimensions have worked in it for a long time. And so we summarize it as fathers that have borne those witnesses. If you find them, honor them if you want to make contact with them. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 7, he said, without every contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. It is the one who has that is able to give. Jesus himself, the Son of God, needed his heavens to open and for the anointing to start working in his life. He was creator. He was God. He was light and he was life. Yet, he went to John the Baptist. The moment he humbled himself before John, instantly the Holy Ghost came upon him. Instantly the Holy Ghost began to lead him. And 40 days later, he will return with the power of the Holy Spirit. I told us the reason many pray, many fast, and they are not anointed is because they dishonor those who carry it, or they dishonor those who represent the symbol of the anointing. And so in order not to waste your prayer energy, in order not to waste your resources, in order not to waste your time fasting in vain, in addition to your prayers, fasting and giving, ensure that you don't dishonor the men who are custodians of these realities. And I told us yesterday, this is not an attempt to advance human worship or deification. Because you honor your biological parents, you don't worship them. There's a difference between honor and worship. If you don't understand that difference, then it means you are worshiping your biological parents. So forget the gimmicks of those who want to fight the church, who advance this gimmick of people are worshiping men of God and all of that. That is absolute nonsense. You honor your biological parents, you don't worship them. So why do you think honoring those who are spiritual authority will translate to worship? That is hypocrisy, and we must kick it out because it will rob us of things that are divine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so I said, in addition to your prayer and fasting, ensure you honor carriers of spiritual possibilities. And I also said, I'm not advancing human worship, and I'm not saying everybody you see lie on the floor. No, I said it must be done by discernment. When you see a man that carries what God has put for you, the Holy Spirit will prompt you. But if you have the culture of dishonor, it will become difficult for you to be sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. This is why it's important to imbibe that culture. You remember in Genesis 13, the Bible said Abraham sat at the gate of Mamre and he saw three men walking by. Immediately he rushed. He had not even discerned who they were, but he had the culture of honor. And he rushed to them and said, "Sir, please come in and relieve yourself of stress." It was eventually he discovered that these are not men. This is the living God walking by. This is why the Bible said to be careful to honor men. He said, by dishonor, some have rejected angels. And by honor, some have accommodated angels. If we allow this nonsense of dishonor become part of us, it will shut down our discernment. And I said, if it shuts down our discernment, three things will happen to us. Number one, we will be robbed of inheritance. Because inheritances are transferred. I said, number two, it will make our generation become a lawless generation. Because when you say it down, you think you are dealing with one pastor who is in error. You think you are dealing with two or three pastors who are in error. What you don't know is that you are about to create an error that cannot be addressed. Because when you get a generation to that point of dishonoring those who carry graces or those who are fathers, it will become the law. And the time will come, you can no longer correct your children. We see it happen in the natural. Go to the West today. They said, no, human rights. Human rights. And they kept advancing human rights. You can't correct a child. You can't beat a child. You can't flog a child. Today, they can't talk to their own children. They literally beg their children to do the right thing. Go to the Western world. People stand up, they say, they don't want children. Abortion is legalized. They are celebrating the fact that that bill has been upturned. Will you dare try it in Nigeria? Because there's a culture of honor. They thought it was about human rights. They thought it was about stopping one or two parents that abuse children. They didn't know they were creating something they could not manage. Today, people walk naked on the street. Dare talk to somebody and see what will happen. A child will arrest the father for trying to stop him or her from entering a relationship. And the child will claim he or she knows what is good for him. Imagine those nonsense. But it has become a lawless society. This is the same thing they are advancing in the body of Christ and they are not aware of. I know there are pastors that cross the line. I know there are excesses and we don't endorse it. But when somebody is wrong, let's correct the issue, deal with the issue, and not try to put down a principle that is eternal. Raise a lawless generation that have no honor and see if you will be able to worship God in the next 10 years, in the next 15 years, in the next 20 years. You'll find a generation that is not accountable. Can you manage the error that we rise? Some of the things we say, we are careful because we know people can call us to order. There are many things we don't dare do or say because there are people who can call us to order. And then you are pushing for dishonor in a bid to deal with one or two persons. It is an error. And you cannot use an error to correct an error. And so when we advance dishonor, a generation will not just be robbed of inheritance, a lawless generation will rise. And number three, I said people will be disconnected from spiritual tribes and spiritual genealogies. Praise God. Praise God. You want to walk in the tangible anointing, you must find those you are connected to, you must find those God leads you to, and you must find those who carry what pertains to your destiny. Honor them and receive it. I'm not talking about this lack of discernment where people are tapping everything. Again, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about discerning those who carry your blessings and honoring them and receiving it. That's what I'm talking about. This principle is spiritual. God himself takes from people and puts in other people. God, and I shared extensively on this subject yesterday. I wouldn't want to repeat myself. Number two, I said to walk. God bless you. Sorry, I didn't see you. Number two, I said to walk in the tangible anointing of the Holy Spirit. You must become very yielded to the Holy Spirit. You find a man who is anointed, that's a man who is yielded to the Holy Spirit. If you are not yielded to the Holy Spirit, you can't walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Because this thing is an overflow. It's a river. The anointing is the person of the Holy Spirit and what flows out of him. If you are not yielded to him, it cannot flow through you. It's impossible. And I told us yesterday, even Jesus, the Son of the living God, had to be yielded to the Holy Spirit to walk in the anointing. For 30 years, there was no record of any supernatural thing happening in the life of Jesus. Until suddenly Jesus will tell John, suffer it to be so for now. Thus it becometh us to fulfill our righteousness. And the moment Jesus will be baptized of John, the heavens will open, the Holy Ghost will alight upon him, and the supernatural will begin as though it's natural. Immediately yieldedness was portrayed, the anointing began to flow. It does not mean Jesus was rebellious, but the Bible presented it that way to teach us a key that we need to be sensitive to. Because after that baptismal service, he was led of the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted. After that temptation, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Could it be that you are struggling because you are being rebellious to the Holy Spirit? You have seen visions of yourself packing out people in stadia. You have seen visions of yourself baptizing 1,000 people at the same time, blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, and every time the Holy Ghost brings an instruction, you can't keep it. Could it be that it's your disalignment that is making the anointing not to flow through you? I know you have heard stories and you have done a lot of things, but how many things did the Holy Ghost tell you that you have refused to do? The Bible says, quench not the Spirit, because you can quench him. And you quench the Holy Spirit when you are reluctant to do the things he demands you to do. The Holy Ghost tells you to go on a fast. You don't go on that fast until when you feel like. When you feel like may not be the Kairos moment. When you feel like may just be the time the Holy Ghost doesn't feel like. The Holy Ghost tells you, stand up and pray. You finish doing everything you are doing before you come to pray. It's not about the prayer. It's about the responsiveness. It's about the obedience. It's about the reverence. These are the things the Holy Ghost is looking for. The most anointed people are not the most prayerful people. I can tell you this. Is prayer important? Yes. But to get certain things done in the Spirit, there are Kairos moments. And this code, the wise men of old know it. The most anointed people are not the most worded people. But I can tell you, the most anointed people are the most obedient people. Obedience, not in that they just do all God tells them to do. They do it when and how God wants it done. When you get yourself to that level of sensitivity and responsiveness, you become shocked that even things you are not conscious of will begin to happen. When you think things, they begin to happen. When you talk things, they begin to happen. The Holy Ghost will literally begin to surprise you on a daily basis. You will find out that things you say casually, will produce supernatural results, and you will be amazed. I went back to the hotel yesterday, and I stumbled on the program I did in Warri, because I was in Warri 2 days ago before coming here. And they had the last session yesterday. And when I stumbled on it, people were giving testimonies. And I was hearing strange. I couldn't take testimonies that night because it was late and I had to take time to teach. And I was hearing strange testimonies from very casual words that I spoke. A woman came up and said when the man of God was preaching yesterday, he just mentioned that ulcers were healed. And she said she's had ulcers for 7 years. an ulcer of 7 years healed from a very casual utterance. Not because I was shouting, ulcer is being healed now, and 7 years ulcer gone. Somebody said he had a malignant growth, and with the moment I spoke, the growth vanished. I didn't feel anything. I just gave a commandment. And issues that were standing for years. In fact, the woman said she had to go back and do a test. The one that had the growth. And they did the scan, growth was gone. Not because you are feeling anything. Somebody said they had a malignant growth.
Just by doing what the Holy Spirit
had the growth to do. And they did the scan, growth. And the more you are doing it, you just discover that the anointing on your life becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Sometimes you wake up at night tired. Somebody calls you and says there's a challenge. You say, in the name of Jesus, receive intervention. You are not sensing anything. You are not seeing any vision. You are not feeling anything. You just spoke. And suddenly, every word you speak, the Lord begins to confirm those words. Why? He said, the Lord confirms the words of his servants and he performs the counsels of his messengers. People are looking for mysteries to be anointed. These are the simple mysteries of the anointing. That when the Holy Ghost speaks, you tremble. When the Holy Ghost speaks, you are prompt to respond. I discovered this is why the fathers are very simple, yet powerful. Because when the Holy Ghost speaks, they don't take it for granted. A man can save money for 3 years and is entering his house and suddenly he hears, empty your account. And it's not even to his church. Sometimes to an orphanage. And what he saved for 3 years, with that simple instruction, he empties 3 years of labor. Does it make sense? They know where the power is. That is in yieldedness. We are doing things and acting dramas, and we are not seeing anything come out because the Holy Ghost knows we don't trust him. I wish you will understand this thing. I wish you understand it. That this is not just a message. That this is a code of supernatural living. It's not a message. This is why you see people who are not educated, who never went to Bible school, walking in power. And you are asking yourself, how? Some people quote one verse of scripture for 20 years. And with that one verse of scripture, they are raising the dead. Blind eyes are opening. Deaf ears are opening. Some of them are illiterate widows. And you will show up with your Bible school grad certificate. You will show up with your collar and with your bishopric. You will show up with your cassock as a senior reverend. Yet, nothing is happening. And you are wondering. One knows the Holy Spirit personally. And when the Holy Ghost speaks, she responds. She's a widow. She's an illiterate, but she doesn't joke with the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Ghost tells her now, stop, she stops. If the Holy Ghost says, stand up, she stands up. Sometimes the Holy Ghost can say, go to the market, and she doesn't know why. She stands up, she goes to the market. She'll go and walk around the market and come back, and the Holy Ghost will not tell her why. The next day, the Holy Ghost will still say, go, and she will still go. In the days when men saw power, they were madmen. We are too elitist, too educated, too civilized to see the raw power of God. If you know this, you will be amazed. Faith will become an experience. Because the Holy Ghost will carry you through the school of faith himself. How many disobedience do you have in your path? How many resistance do you have in your path? You have attended conferences upon conferences. The most anointed of men have laid hands on you. You have sown all the seeds they need to sow. How come you are still dry? This is the secret. The anointing is not so difficult to wrap, but it will take a lot of obedience to find it. A lot of obedience. And as you begin to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, you will see how supernatural your life will become. so supernatural. I've met people before whom no man laid hands on, but working wonders as a lifestyle. I'm a traveler. One day I'm in the palace, the other day I'm in the village. I can be in a massive estate in one day with rooms and everything, convoys. The next day, I can be in one room with three people, sharing one mattress. I've gone to the top, I've gone to the bottom by the mercy of God, and I've met strange people. I've seen strange people, some of them in the villages that nobody may ever go. They don't even have cameras to record what happened. But you will show up, they will tell you, last night, 17 deaf ears opened. And you ask yourself, 7 what? Last night is a normal thing, 17 dead ears. They will hit on their door, 1 a.m. Somebody is dead. They will stand up from sleep and command the dead to rise. The dead will rise, they will go back and sleep. As they come back in the morning, terrible things. They don't have half the revelations that we have. But if the Holy Ghost speaks, they don't only obey, they tremble. You will find a man sometimes tell you that God told him for the next 14 days he shouldn't go out. And because God said it, all his programs canceled. And he will sit down for 14 days. And then you are wondering, but all the connections that you should build. I thought you said you are supposed to go to London tomorrow. His job is not to go to London. His job is to serve his spirit. The zenith of his ministry is not where he goes to. It's not who he meets. It's the degree to which he will base this spirit. And he will start down a journey to London that is the prayer point of another person for 5 years. And right there in the village, God will do with him what the man who has gone around the world has taught him. And if it pleases God to lift him up, what the places God will take him to in 1 year, somebody else may not go in 30 years. Most of you here, if you will take a reflector, a sober reflector, for 5 minutes, there are pending instructions that you have not even kept. But you have come for another conference, hoping to receive another impartation, if possible to see apostle, to lay hands on you, to hold hands and pray with you. But if you do a 5 minute sober reflection, there are more than 10 instructions that you have not obeyed. For some of you, these instructions have lasted for 10 years. You can literally remember them. Some of you, even last night, while you went home, God told you to pray in the night, you didn't pray. And you are here for this morning session, waiting for an invitation. It doesn't work like that. It's not the volume of messages that makes the difference. It's actually the volume of obedience that makes the difference. If you become yielded to the Holy Spirit, you will not need any jamboree. The anointing will flow out of you like a river. I want to show you something. I want God to anoint somebody with the spirit of revival. Don't worry, sit down. You don't need to do anything. Please sit down. The fire of God, a literal fire of God, will fall on someone now. Don't do anything. Just sit down. Father, towards my right hand, anoint someone now with a fresh fire. Let the hand of God become strong upon this one. The garment of revival. The garment. Help us, please. Somebody else is receiving another impartation. Another person, receive that fire now in the name of Jesus. Touch. Let the hearts of men burn. coat their tongue with fire. Hear this. I did this to show you something. The anointing is not manipulation. There are certain things you can do even when you wake up. And there are certain things you cannot do no matter what you do. It depends on your level of yieldedness and obedience. Where I am with God now, I can do impartation anytime. I can ask God to ordain people. I can ask God to set men on fire. I can pray for things like paralysis. I can pray for things like growth in the body, and they will vanish any day, anytime. But my obedience level, I've not reached a level where I can give instructions, certain instructions. For example, I see the blind eyes open when I'm praying masked in a mask. I can declare I'm blind eyes open. But it's not something I can do at will. As you grow in obedience, the authority grows. I've seen few people stand up from wheelchair. It's not something I can do as we. And see, learning to follow the Holy Spirit, obedience level is still growing. But I know men who can walk to anybody anytime on the wheelchair and say, stand up. It's not manipulation. I can stand now again and tell the Lord that if you have a growth in your body, how many people have growth here? You have something like a lump or a pain somewhere that is like a lump or something. I want to show you another practical. You have something like that. All of you that have that growth, just don't try to do anything. Just stay sensitive. I want to pray now. Some of them, the pains will go, or the lump will dematerialize. Not because I'm sensing anything. My obedience has come to that level. But this man on the wheelchair, I may need to take time to pray for the spirit of faith to come upon me before I'm able to pray for him. But if I continue walking with God, a day will come when if I go for a meeting, I can casually raise 10 of them. It's not manipulative, it's where your yieldedness level reaches. That's what God can grant. He said, He granted that signs and wonders be done by their hands. It's a granting. I will pray for these people and I'll still ask God to anoint somebody with fire again. And somebody will still be activated. Father, I command everybody with pain and everybody with growth in the body now. In the name of Jesus, please don't be distracted. Stay sensitive. I command those growths to vanish now. I command those growths to vanish now. And I command the pains in their bodies to go now. Every pain in the neck, in the chest, and every form of growth, right now, I command you, go from their bodies. In the name of Jesus, pains go, growth dematerialize, growth dematerialize, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father. Can you check again? I'm trying to show you something. People think what we do is emotional psychology. There are things that work in this kingdom. If you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, you will wonder what He will do to you. Now, for those of you that have those pains or those growths, can you check it again for me quickly? I don't know them. Let me not go there. How many of you indicated, if you have noticed a change, can you wave at me? For those who had, okay, I've seen one hand, I'm seeing two hands. Sister, three, four, wait. Don't clap quickly. Please come, those of you that have noticed. You know, I want to teach this morning of faith, but I wish you understood what I shared yesterday. It's not many messages. It's for people to understand and become. You keep disobeying God, that's why things are difficult. Mama, what happened? Did you have a pain or a growth? You had a growth. He gives you.
Yes, sir.
You have?
Yes. Yes, sir. I have a growth.
You had a growth.
Yes, sir.
And once in a while,
it gives me pain.
So the pain helps you to dictate it.
Yes, sir. More like they said it's my problem.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Can you check it to know if there's?
I don't feel it again.
You don't feel it again.
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I don't know them. Give them the mic. Let's hear what you say.
I noticed it last night when I went to
the last.
Yes, sir.
And right now you can't feel it again.
Yes, sir.
Gone.
Yes, sir.
What's the next message? It's permanent in Jesus' name. Yes, what was the case?
I was having a pain on my leg.
A pain?
Yes, and it has lasted for weeks.
For weeks, help her, please. Be careful with that. It's gone?
Yes.
It is permanent in Jesus' name. What happened?
I was sleeping when I was sleeping for 3 days ago. This leg was very painful, so I can't turn.
You couldn't turn your leg.
Even yesterday, when I come for here, where I go, I still buy drugs. Where I
take? You took drugs.
I took things. Even for this morning, this
morning.
I can't
turn.
When I come for
here,
yes.
Yes. What happened?
I was having pain on my leg.
You had excruciating pain?
Yes.
But now it's gone?
Yes.
It's permanent in Jesus' name. What happened, Mama?
I was having pain, yeah. Even I took drugs before coming in.
You took drugs?
Yes, before coming. But now
it's gone.
I can't feel it anymore.
What happened? It's permanent.
I get over these sharp pain, yeah.
Sharp?
Very sharp.
It's
then,
gone?
Yeah, after, as in, it has been long, but this part was a kind of... I don't know how really to explain, but I know it was an attack.
Yes.
So when I really want, when I gave my life to Christ, the attack was much.
Yes.
So I had this dream. In that dream, I see something like a loopy stuff.
Yes.
So after the loopy stuff, I started having a stomach problem. So anytime I visit the hospital, they're gonna tell me it's ulcer. But I know fully well that this is not just ordinary ulcer.
So then, you have that thing there?
Very sharp pain. The pain is, in fact, the pain is very sharp here. But when you made the declaration, I felt this a cool sensation. Then with faith, I believe that I am healed.
It's permanent in Jesus' name. What happened to you, my sister?
I was having serious back pain and waist pain. Yes, I had to come back from work because of the pain. But as you made the declaration, it left.
It's gone. It's permanent in Jesus' name. What happened, my sister?
There is this pain I started feeling on my right breast.
Yes, on my right breast.
Yes, I even went for scan and they said it's a granular tissue thickening. It comes with pain.
She went for scan. They said it's granular tissue thickening.
Yes.
Would you feel anything there?
Yes, I could feel something.
You could feel the thickness.
Yes, yes.
But what happened?
Last night, actually, the miracle started. You made mention of that, and I fell under power.
Oh, okay. You were delivered.
Yes. So, I'm here to testify, and it's perfected.
The pain is gone. Can you still feel that tingling pain?
No. I don't feel it anymore. It's reduced, like unlike how it used to be.
Mama, you have a testimony. What happened?
Since I started this program, I noticed too much cold. Yesterday, after the program, I cannot sleep. My breath was seized.
Your breath was seized.
I was doing take medicine. That's night. This morning I take medicine before, but this morning I noticed my breath have come down.
So what happened now?
I am free.
Praise God.
All right.
Now, why did I do this? For two reasons. God bless you. It's permanent in Jesus' name. It's not just an intense atmosphere that makes us minister. If you are yielded to the Holy Spirit, it's His job to confirm your words. If I say, okay, God touch people, let them fall, they'll say it's emotion. Meanwhile, if you think it's emotion, you go and try it. And I, after doing that, I have to deal with tangible substances. You have a growth or you have a pain now. Let's pick the same word and let it happen. So that you will understand what we are saying. Now, as you yield to God, this is how you come back and speak over your business. And you will see it will shift. You will speak over your family. You will see it will shift. You will speak over circumstances. Not because you are feeling something. This is beyond emotional psychology. There's no psychology that will take a growth out of somebody's body. A growth that already was scanned medically. This is not psychology. But there is a way it works. Most of you have a depth of disobedience. What God told you 6 months ago, what God told you 2 years ago, what God told you 5 years ago, even what God told you this week, you have not done one. But you have run to another conference to hear another revival message, receive another impartation, and then go and continue in disobedience. You will never be anointed. There is a level of yieldedness that if I enter, I can easily walk to somebody on which he has to stand up. And if I have not attained that level of yieldedness, if my life sing, shout, play keyboard to the loudest volume, it will not happen. Because that level of authority cannot be granted and virtue cannot flow. I can pray for people with ear condition now. Now, I'm not feeling anything. I'm just teaching you something. And instantly, most of them will be healed. Ear condition, either external ear or internal ear, you will discover. Sometimes my spirit can literally pick it. When I move around you, I can sense it, that this thing is there. Because as we yield to the Holy Spirit, it begins to open you up to dimensions. This is why I told you, one of the key to operating the anointing is yieldedness. Too many messages heard, too many impartations received, but never yielded to the government of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ear conditions here? Because I know that I could sense that already. It's not even the external ear. Somewhere, it's like it's inside your throat, deep inside beneath the ear. And then it makes sounds. You are hearing sounds. Sometimes the sounds become faint and it looks as if it's in another world. And then you are feeling this pressure. You don't know what is going on. I could literally sense that already. How many of you have ear, helper? How many of you have ear condition? Crisis with your ear. You have a challenge. What's the challenge? Sound. Okay, there are two of them. Is there any other person? You have an ear condition. What's the challenge? Come. All of you, come. Come. I'm trying to explain something to you. The anointing is not emotion. It's not psychology. You want to grow the anointing, just keep obeying the Holy Spirit. Keep me you there. I'm not hearing any prophetic word. I'm not sensing any energy on my head. I'm just doing what I'm doing on the strength of my obedience and yieldedness to God. If it fails, I go back and align more. That's what we are doing here. It's something that can be taught and can be replicated any day, anytime. Because of my walk with God, I know territories that He has given to me. And any day, anytime, I can explore those territories. Just put your hands on your ear now. The one that is coming. I will see. And God will touch your ear. That's one of my access points in intimacy. And when I sing like this, I'm making a demand on the covenant of intimacy. That's how it works. There are certain things that you will ask your wife. You will ask her on the strength of the covenant of intimacy. And even if she doesn't have it, she will go out of her way to ask. And there are certain things you will not ask her. But because of intimacy, if you do some things, you will know that this is what you need. When you come home and you act in a certain way, they can tell you are hungry because of intimacy. And you will not ask for food, you will provide it. There are certain things you will do, you will know you need money. You will not ask, you will give you. And so when we sing like this, we are making demand on it. And the Holy Ghost knows what we want that time. That's why a song can mean anything. A song can mean a worship. A song can mean a demand in the spirit. And as you are singing, things will be happening. Somebody else will not know why. You can be singing God is a battle. Because it's a covenant of intimacy. It can mean anything but it takes intimacy.
And now remove your hands from your ears. If you have noticed the change, please don't try to impress God. Don't try to impress God. If you have noticed the change already, come home. You have noticed a change that's taking place. You can check the ear. What was happening before is no longer happening. You have noticed the change. Now, that ear in here, it was covered. But while it was covered, it was touched. What was the challenge?
This challenge started so many years ago. Somebody beat me with a broom on the head. Yes. So after that, the whole system of my ear was not organized. And there was no series of tests about the ear. They said that the ear proof is that has spoiled. That there's nothing that they will do again. Then since that year, I've been suffering.
So you couldn't hear well?
No, before I didn't hear well. But now, for about 10 years now, God has been opening it gradually.
So what's the law?
Now, I don't feel it depends again.
Don't feel the
depends if it has disappeared.
There are places you enter, it will look as if the heavens are locked. You can't sense anything. And then you will remind yourself, I'm a servant of God. I follow God. I follow His lead. And because I have a walk with God, I can make demand on that walk. This is why we teach you. This is how you build the anointing. You are here challenged for several years. Now please stand up, please. You were hit with broom. You couldn't hear well. You started improving 10 years ago. But there's been a pain. And the pain. Even this morning,
even the morning, you've been so severe, yes. It's so severe on me last night.
But and the doctor said there's nothing they can do.
I don't hear the sound again. That was the whole system from the ear down. Everywhere was still this morning.
It was still this morning. Could you hear?
Now.
Could you hear before now?
I don't hear. I hear the smoke.
Can we just see that there's an improvement in the hearing?
There is improvement now.
Can you say something about the mic? Let her repeat. Or give her the mic. Say
Jesus.
She's the one feeling the anointing. Me, I'm not feeling anything. I'm just fighting from intimacy. I'm not feeling anything. She can tell you. Mama, please stand. Then cover the right ear. Cover the ear that is working. The ear that was working. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
God. Yes. Give me the mic.
Sharp pains in my ear, like sounds. Sometimes you go to my ear. It's like you go to my eyes and I'll be bringing water from my eyes.
So what happened now?
So as we're praying, I just feel like a breeze around my ear side. And I just feel
like a wind.
Around my ears and I can't feel it again. I can't feel it.
And the pain is gone.
It's gone. I can't feel it.
Trust me, I don't know what is happening here. It mustn't be a powerful service, preach powerfully and delivered. No. No. Those things happen to you because of how you came into the service and because of the hunger in the hearts of the people. But whether those things are there or not, if you have yieldedness in your quiver, the anointing will respond to you always. Family. Is there any other person that is still here? Yes, what happened?
There's this sound that I've been feeling at my right ear.
Sound in your ear?
Yes, sir.
Right ear. What happened now?
I can't feel it anymore.
For how long?
Too much now.
You know, when it happens to people, you think it's a casualty. What happened to you for 1 hour? Yeah. It's permanent in Jesus' name. You have not got to the healing?
I used to have like something like water inside.
You feel
like sound? Yes. So if I want to shout like the thing like ringing inside, like plugging something inside.
Oh,
I can't hear anything.
You
remove
the mic. Sound very well. Hey! Sound very well. This yourself looks like. See, hey! What happened? Did you feel it again?
Yes, sir. No, sir. I didn't feel anything.
Is permanent in Jesus' name. Listen, when you start yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit, you will start increasing the measure of the anointing on your life. And it will show you, if I pray for a barren person now, I will come back here next year. Here, sir. Even if there's no program, I will pay for my ticket and come. Like I can be as sure as my name that even if the person did not have a womb, by this time next year the person will carry a child. That's how the anointing works. It's not drama. If you are yielded, it becomes the, not because you are a powerful man, not because you are special, but because you choose to yield to the Holy Spirit. He makes it his responsibility to keep every utterance that comes out of your mouth. And the one you have not entered, if you lie, kill yourself, it will not happen. Everyone trusting God for a child. Everyone trusting God for the fruit of the womb. It doesn't matter for how long. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. Now I speak as a servant of Jesus. Take your children. By this time next year, carry your child. Carry your child. In the name of Jesus. You disobey the Holy Spirit, you do it at your own expense. You want to be an eagle? You want to be supernatural in your generation? You want to be mightily used of God? Help him. You want to be unstoppable? Help them, please. Help them. The hand of God can come on any man. But to what degree will you be yielded? To what degree? I speak by the Spirit. Let the river of the miraculous, the river of power, the river of that endless dimension of wonder, let it begin to flow here now. Everyone trusting God for a dimension in the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, take that place now. I don't know how many we are here, but I've seen an oil come on at least 24 persons. Ushers, bring them here, people. Bring them here quickly. There's a transference taking place now. The transfer is about to start. Take that power. Take that place. I've seen there is a grace for wonder, working wonders. You may be small. You may be uneducated. You may seem disqualified by the standards of flesh. But there is a mighty hand of God coming on someone to work wonders. Wonders. Your life will become an endless stream of the miraculous.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just send this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.edfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.